Hello and welcome to the latest NWSL season preview for 2016. Once again, I'm joined by my colleague from Equaliser Soccer, Dan Laletta. Dan, a few days away from the season, the excitement is building, my friend.
Yeah, no, we'll have a very different discussion from yesterday when we went from the most established team in the league to the literal wild card because they've never played a game yet.
The new kids on the block, the Orlando Pride, yes, the team that was announced last autumn. Displacing Houston Dash as the newest team in the league. Lots of hype. They obviously made a big splash when they made their first three signings, which were Sarah Hagen, Kaylin Kyle, and one Alex Morgan. They've gone on to build a roster that on paper looks very competitive. I think when the Houston Dash first started out, you looked at their roster and you thought, this is a team that's going to struggle. With the Orlando Pride, when you look at it from back to front, potentially a team that could not necessarily win the league, but could cause a few surprises.
I think they are for sure a mid-table team, and we will find out whether they are mid-table trending up or mid-table trending down once we see them in action. And it really is impossible to figure out how they'll look. You know, Tom Cermani is one of the friendliest and nicest people that you could ever meet, literally, in your entire life, in any walk of life, but he's keeping his cards pretty close to the vest, and they haven't played another league opponent yet, so there's not a whole lot to scout. But yeah, they've done a pretty good job. Ashlyn Harris in goal, that's solid. She'll miss some time, and there's a lack of experience behind her, but that's okay. The back line, it doesn't jump off the page at you, but they have some very, very good players there. Midfield, Becky Edwards, Leanne Sanderson, pretty good players. Up top, Alex Morgan. Now, she just missed the U.S. match with a hip injury, but her knees appear to be as healthy as they've been in an awful long time. She should be buoyed playing in Orlando, living with her husband who plays for Orlando City in Major League Soccer. I think this team could be okay. I don't think they're there yet, but I think they could be okay.
What do you think Tom Cermani can take from the Houston Dash's first season? What do you think he'll learn? What do you think he will try and change from what Houston did to ensure that Orlando are that little bit more competitive?
You know, I'm not sure there are a lot of lessons to take from that, Kieran, because Houston came into the league very late, and they didn't get a lot of breaks, and they're still a little bit sore about not getting a lot of breaks. Orlando was in the league, and within like 48 hours of being announced, they had Alex Morgan on their roster, and they got handed a lot of things at the top that allowed them to move assets to get Alex Morgan. So I'm not sure that there are a lot of lessons to take from Houston, because Houston was up against it in the early going, regardless. You know, draft day, maybe they could have gotten a better player than Kaylee Ojai, but they had their reasons for taking Ojai, who I do think is very good. Orlando wound up trading themselves out of the top of the draft, so they didn't get one of the absolute elite players. But this team, you know, came along at a good time. Seems like people want to be there. So I think this is a totally different experience for Orlando than it was for Houston.
And they are looking to go big, aren't they? They've got a campaign at the moment to try and fill the stadium, and they are looking in the opening home game to try and beat the current NWSL attendance record, which is currently held by the Portland Thorns. And many people are expecting them to do it as well.
I'd be surprised if they didn't, to be honest. 21-144 is the record, which is a stone sellout in Portland, and I would be surprised if that opening Orlando game doesn't beat it.
So, I mean, obviously it's difficult for us over here to really establish the splash that it's made. We obviously see all the things on social media. We've seen the videos. We've seen the articles that have come out over there. But just how big an impact is this team making? Are we expecting them in the next few years to be up there and challenging for titles?
Well, we'll see how things go with the roster construction, but I don't see why not. You know, Tom Cermani took over when I knew Tom Cermani in WUSA, he took over the New York Power, who in 2002 were the most dreadful team you've ever seen. And he very slowly, very methodically got the team into contention in 2003. And I remember the game that they lost, and they didn't get completely eliminated, but it was the time where they needed like a miracle, like five miracles in order to get in the playoffs. And Tom said, you know, the story of the season will be almost. We almost got there. And they were ready to do good things when that league went underground. I actually thought he was doing a good job with the national team before some other people decided they felt differently than I did. Yeah, I think they've got the right pieces in place. I think they've, again, I think they're a location that people are going to want to go. And, you know, you can make all the rules you want to have parity in the league, but if you are talking about a team that plays on a field with portable stands and doesn't know where they're practicing against a team that is playing in the Citrus Bowl, and then next season it'll be a brand new stadium that has the support of a Major League Soccer team, and everybody you talk to down there says that it's so nice how they are treated on an even par with Orlando City SC, then, you know, international players are going to want to be in Orlando.
Yeah, you get the impression that there's certainly not, this is certainly not a half-hearted attempt an NWSL franchise. This is a team that is looking to make waves and, as I said, looking to challenge for titles in the future. We'll talk about individual players and players to watch out for in a little bit, but when you look at the roster that Tom Samani has constructed, what are the areas of the field that you like and where they could be strong?
Well, I think the back five. I think Ashlyn Harris is outstanding and will be trying to keep herself sharp ahead of the Olympics. You know, I was around Aubrey Bledsoe a little bit last year with Sky Blue, but she only got into one game for 9 or 10 minutes or something like that. But I know the team is high on her. I know they kind of took Sky Blue by surprise when they took her. But I think the back, I think Alloway and Catley are outstanding, and they have a lot of depth back there. Kristen Edmonds and Monica and, you know, Cammy Levin was the starting left back on Sky Blue last season. So I think there's a lot of things they can do in the back to kind of mix things up and keep a solid back line out there. Maddie Evans is listed as a defender. I see her as more of a midfielder, kind of an energy player. We talked before we started the report about Josie Belanger. She can also play in the back. She's listed as a forward. So I think right off the bat, they could make themselves difficult to play against. And, you know, I've said this a lot over the last few days we've been doing this, but if you start off in back and make yourself difficult to play against, then that makes it easier to build out the rest of your team and to sometimes steal some results.
Yeah, I think you make some good points there. I'm also a big fan of Laura Alloway, and in particular Steph Catley. I think she's incredibly young still, and she's achieved so much already. I controversially, in other people's minds, not in mine, picked her as my best left back from the World Cup last year. I thought she was outstanding in the games that she was able to play in. But I think defensively, you're right. I think they look very solid. I like the fact that Josie Belanger was a great pickup for them. I think she will add versatility because she can play in the back. She can play up front as well, very quick, will add creativity. I like the midfield as well, Dan. I think that Becky Edwards was a shrewd bit of business to bring in, lots of experience, and we know that she has established herself as a very useful NWSL player. And Leanne Sanderson, not currently in the England setup at the moment, so not a lot of travelling for her to do back to England if she continues to be overlooked, which means she's going to be available, which means she's going to be fresh, and on her day, she can add a lot of quality as well.
I had a coach tell me, I think, in 2014 that Leanne Sanderson was a top five player in NWSL. I thought that was stretching it maybe a little bit, but you put her around the right players and she can certainly make a big impact. My question in the midfield is how will they use Kaylin Kyle? Because indications are that they intend to play Kaylin Kyle a lot. I like Becky Edwards in that traditional defensive holding midfielder role where she sits on top of the back line and she is the one person back there. And not only is she breaking up attacks, but she has as good a long ball as any midfielder in this league. So I'm curious whether they're going to partner the two up as holding midfielders, whether they're going to play one or the other one a little bit higher, and how they will work the shape of the midfield. And that could be, to me, the tipping point, because I think Becky Edwards, and maybe I'm tipping my hand about players to watch, but I think Becky Edwards, when healthy and properly placed on the field, is spectacular.
Yeah, agreed. Hence why I brought her up, and I'm glad that you backed me up on that one. But maybe, I'll be honest, I've forgotten about Kaylin Kyle until you mentioned her, and I guess potentially they may go with maybe a 4-3-3, and they could play Becky Edwards and Kaylin Kyle as kind of the two holding players with someone like a Leanne Sanderson in front of them, with a three, maybe a Belanger and an Alex Morgan and another to kind of play, or a Belanger wide of Alex Morgan through the middle and someone else on the other side. That's a possibility, I guess. I'm not sure what Tom Samani's thoughts are because we haven't had a chance to speak to him yet. But I think they might be all right. I think mid-table is a good season for them potentially if things go well and they avoid injuries. The last playoff spot isn't completely out of the question, but yeah, I like what Tom Samani's done. I think they will at least be competitive, and I think that's the most important thing. And if they're going to be getting big crowds, then the best thing for them is to make sure that they are able to match up to their opposition.
And getting back to your question about Houston, Randy Waldrum had said before the first season, if we can get to the last few weeks of the season and we're in the conversation, that'll be a good season for us. They almost got there and they were almost in the conversation, and then some injuries set in and I think they lost their last five or six. I think the same goes for Orlando. If we can get to the other side of the Olympics and they're in the discussion, legitimately in the discussion, not where you're reaching that, well, if they win their next five games and these other teams start losing, if they're legitimately in the conversation on the other side of the Olympics and they've built the right culture, I think that's a good season for the team.
So who's your player to look out for then, Dan? I think you might have mentioned her, but by all means, if you want to build on that, be my guest.
Well, Shane, I already made my Becky Edwards case, so I'll go to Sarah Hagen. She was one of the first acquisitions as well, and I think Hagen will be really good when she's out there with Alex Morgan. But this team will need some secondary scoring, and they know Morgan won't be there the entire time. Jasmine Spencer, quick, can occasionally score. I don't think she'll score a lot. Jamia Fields had her moments in Western New York. I don't think she'll score a lot. I think Sarah Hagen might be the tipping point in the attack. Does she form a 1-2 punch with Alex Morgan, and can she carry any of the load when Morgan is not there? Something she didn't necessarily do in Kansas City when Amy Rodriguez went to the World Cup.
Yeah, the piece that I wrote for She Kicks magazine, Sarah Hagen was the player that I wrote down to look out for as well, for the exact reasons that you've just given. She will have a workload to do in the absence of Alex Morgan. She could well play up there with her if they go for a more 4-4-2 formation. I think she's certainly one to look out for. I do like Jessie Bollinger. I think she, as I said, adds versatility. I think she adds a lot of quality. Leanne Sanderson, Steph Catley. I'm struggling to actually pick one out as a standout. I think I'm going to go with Steph Catley. As I said, a player I'm a big fan of. She played, actually, I think if I remember rightly, the opening game of the World Cup, she actually played a centre-back against the United States. I think they played someone else, possibly Caitlin Ford, out on as a left-back. And in the remaining games after that, Steph did move to her more recognised position of left-back. But very intelligent player, good defender, good as a supporting player moving forward as and when. But I think she'd probably be my player to look out for. But in terms of our player interview for this show, we've actually got her Matilda's teammate, Laura Alloway. So had a chat with her, what fellow newbie, much like Steph, fellow international. So I had a chat with her about the Pride and their thoughts about the upcoming season. So here she is, having a chat about the Orlando Pride. Okay, so I'm delighted to be joined by Matilda Laura Alloway for this Orlando Pride NWSL season preview. Laura, thanks for joining me. How are you, and how's the sunshine out in Orlando?
I'm really well, thank you. Sunshine is nice and hot, just like home, so good to be here.
Good place to be for an Australian, no doubt about that whatsoever. But kicking off the interview, tell me what the mood is like in the camp. New franchise, new team to the NWSL, lots of attention on you guys. What's the mood in the camp, and what's the feeling going into the Pride's first season?
I mean, the girls are all super excited to get started. They've been in the pre-season a little bit longer than what I have personally. But I've been here for just over 2 weeks now, and I can honestly say I've never been more welcomed into a team than I have to this one. And the girls have definitely got a good companionship going on, and I'm really excited for our first game this weekend.
It's interesting you say that they've got a good companionship. New team, only launched last autumn. A lot of those players have kind of gradually come into the club. Why is it so special, do you think? I know you've only been there for a short period, but why is it special, and what is it that's different in terms of how you've been welcomed?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I feel like the girls are all just a very genuine group of girls, to be honest. I think there's obviously always fight for spots, but I think that the main goal is to see the team be successful. And you can tell that by the way that our players on the field, you know, encourage each other, but then also push each other for spots. So I think just having a good, a good core attitude, basically.
And a good core attitude that no doubt trickles down from your head coach, Tom Samani, someone you know very well from the time that he coached the Matildas. How much of an influence was he in convincing you to join the club?
He didn't have to do much convincing, to be honest. I've always wanted to play in the NWSL, and as soon as he gave me the contract, I was very excited to get on board. But he's probably got a fairly decent influence on the girls and their personalities. I suppose he's a very relaxed type of coach, and that definitely infiltrates the team, and I think that's why everyone has got such a friendly vibe about them. He's picked some genuine people, which has been nice.
And how nice is it to be in the team alongside a good friend of yours, Steph Catley?
Yeah, it's always good. She's a quality player, and obviously on the international stage, she's world class. And so she brings that depth of knowledge and that quality into training. And it's always nice to have a friendly face around, I suppose.
And for you on a personal level, we'll kind of talk about the games that are coming up a little bit, but you've come into Orlando on a real crest of a wave, is the only way I can really describe it. You were down in the W League with Melbourne City FC, their first season in the W League, and you go the whole year undefeated. And then you go into Asian qualifying for the Olympics and you come out on top and will be heading to Rio. How good is it to be Laura Alloway at the moment?
I feel pretty normal, pretty same old, I guess, but yeah, it's definitely a confidence builder coming into such a prestigious league over here, knowing that I've just come off of a good season and obviously a very good qualification round. I don't know, I don't really change much. I'm the same old person, but sure, maybe a little bit more confident than normal, I guess.
Did the experiences at Melbourne help, though, because that was a new franchise, a new club, and never really know what to expect when a new team launches? You're going into another new club in Orlando. Did the experiences in Melbourne help you a little bit?
Yeah, the biggest attraction to me, I think, was the fact that the club was offering such a professional standard and really wanting to boost that over the whole league, showing the other teams, you know, where they should be at in order to push this professionalism that they want to. And then obviously coming over to Orlando, they've really done the same thing and exceeded my expectations than anything I thought was doing really well in Melbourne, and we definitely were a step above any other club in the W League. And then to come to Orlando and have similar facilities and, just little things like having breakfast together, having lunch together, training in the morning, so it's an actual job for us, you know. The girls don't have jobs along the side. You know, most of the teams in W League, the girls do. So it's nice to be able to solely focus on football, and then we can actually get the job done, which obviously proved pretty valuable in our last season.
There's quite a lot made about the relationship between the W League and the NWSL. There was a number of American players and players from the NWSL that played in the W League over our winter, your summer, and obviously we've seen a lot of Australian players come over to the NWSL over the last few years. Do you think, it might sound an obvious question, but the parallels of the number of Australians playing in the NWSL to the rise of the Matildas, I'm sure that there's no doubt the W League has played a part and you as individuals have played your part, but how important has the NWSL been for the rise and the standards of the Matildas going up?
Yeah, definitely. I think if you look at the likes of Sam Kerr, Caitlin Ford, Kaya Simon, all these girls who have been playing this league for quite a number of years now, just watching their development and then them bringing that back with them to the Australian League, and obviously Steph Catley is in that bunch as well, has definitely raised the level of gameplay in the W League. But then with them, they've brought such quality, you know, Jess Fishlock, Kim Little and Jen Beattie all coming to Melbourne City with almost directly because of probably the girls that they've met in the NWSL that are Australian girls that have invited them to come back or suggested they do. So then the league back home is also getting better.
You mentioned players like Jess and Kim there. You'll be playing against them as well as fellow Aussies. Yeah, how much are you looking forward to that?
I know all their tricks and trades, that's all.
And how much are you looking forward to coming up against them?
Honestly, I don't think anyone looks forward to playing against Jess and Kim, but it'll be good to see them again and I guess see how the Orlando Pride matches up against Seattle. got some good training under our belt now, and it'll be good to have the American Cup back in the mix this week, ready for our first game. And I guess take it game by game, and hopefully we're growing strength to strength. Being a new team, you've got to get used to the players around you, and hopefully by the time we reach Seattle, we'll give them a good run for the money.
Well, you have to wait for Seattle. You actually open away in Portland, Providence Park, a ground that more often than not gets 18,000-20,000 people. Have you been told about what to expect in Portland? Because I've been there. I attended an NWSL game there a couple of years ago, and the atmosphere is something else, absolutely incredible. Have people kind of told you about what to expect there, and how difficult will that game be?
Yeah, it wasn't until literally like 2 days ago I was having an interview, and I pretty much got asked the same question, and then followed by, you do know that the Portland fans are very into it and very intense. I'm like, no, I did not, but that's nice to know. I think it's like any other game, you know, whether it be a World Cup match or just a game in the backyard, at the end of the day, it's always football, and you focus on what you've got to do. And to be honest, I'm kind of a personality that doesn't really get too carried away in the crowds, and I somehow managed to block it out. I don't even take notice of it until the game's over, and then you realise, oh, there's people here watching.
But other than opening home, and we'll talk about the home opener in a minute, opening away at Portland in front of a big crowd like that, there can't be many better away games to start with, can there?
No, well, I think it'll be cool to see obviously Alex returning to Portland, Steph returning to Portland. Some of the girls who have previously played there will be a bit of a grudge match, and a good one to open with, I think.
And then we come to your home opener a week later against the Houston Dash. It's been a big campaign to try and fill the Citrus Bowl. They're expecting potentially a record crowd. How excited are you about that one, Laura?
Yeah, I've already been blown away with the amount of support that the Orlando people have given us. The club is really behind us, and obviously showing that the professionalism they're bringing to it is shows how much they do support us and they want us to be successful. And then to go out onto the streets and have people stop you and, you know, say that they're coming to the first game has been awesome. So I think the more crowd there, hopefully we can smash that attendance record and then keep it going throughout the season and keep showing the people that we're worth coming to watch, I guess.
What's the expectations of the team this year? The new kids on the block, we saw the Houston Dash were in a similar position 2 years ago. They were a year behind everyone else and they struggled in their first year. They were much better in their second, but I've been discussing the teams over the course of the last week. We're doing a number of season previews on Women's Soccer Zone, and one of the things that we've said is that the Houston Dash didn't have the roster to be able to compete in their first year, but you guys do. So what's the expectations? I know it's early, it's very difficult to predict, but yeah, what's Tom saying to you in terms of what he expects?
Well, he is just focusing on us, to be honest. I think the beauty of coming into this league for the first time for me, and I've come in with a completely blank slate, you know, I don't know the players around me, I don't know the players I'm up against, and you can just sort of focus on your own game, and then I guess hopefully you'll be successful. But I honestly don't know a lot about the league, but from what people have told me, I think they've said exactly what you just said, that we've got a strong roster, and it's exciting, I guess, to see what we can do with those players. And I honestly don't know what to expect come against Portland, but you just always got to go on the field expecting to be against quality players, and I think that's what we're all aiming to do, and then expect to do well.
Well, I mentioned earlier the Matildas and the fact that you've qualified for Rio. I mean, I do want to ask you, you know, very briefly about that, because that Asian qualifying group is arguably one of the toughest to come through to get to an Olympic Games, when you've got the likes of Japan and China and South Korea, and it's very, very difficult, very competitive. For Australia to come out on top, what does that say about the team that you've got there at the moment? You're at a record high in terms of your world ranking. You are making big strides in women's world football at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, I think we definitely grew in confidence after making it out of the group of death in the World Cup, if so people were calling it. And from there, I think we just started to believe in ourselves. And it might sound cliche, but when you have that true belief in the players around you and in your own ability, you can do amazing things. And I guess we started to show that, you know, the first game against Japan, everyone's like, oh, here we go, it's Japan. You sort of had that little bit of doubt, but once we got into the game, everyone just grew in confidence, and to come out with a 3-1 win in our first game of the campaign, which, you know, you don't necessarily expect, to take that into the following games, and obviously then we just, from game to game, grew in confidence, and it's a good way to kick off our Olympic campaign, and now, yeah, we're on our road to Rio.
And the draw on Thursday, will you be sitting down with Steph and watching it?
Yes, we're very excited to see that. We just got the pots, I think they're called, the groups of teams that obviously you won't play against. And I think we have France, maybe? I don't know. We were looking at it the other day, so we're very excited and anxious to see who we're going to be up against.
Well, I think you're in pot two. I think pot one is host Brazil, United States and Germany. So you will definitely be playing one of those three. So definitely a big matchup for you guys in the Olympics. Laura, I will round it off. I always like to try and round it off on a bit of a lighter note. Now, I saw a video on social media this week with you and Steph Catley. You were bullying Leanne Sanderson because she wears zinc on her face. And you were bullying Sarah Hagen, calling her banana instead of apple. Now, I want to know, have the players got back at you yet? Or have you been bullying other players as well? And if so, what have you been doing?
Oh, that's a hard one. The players be bullying me. I like to think that we're quite a welcoming, friendly pair, Steph and I. We've made an honorary Aussie within the team. Maddie is our honorary Aussie. She comes on coffee dates with us, so we're nice to her, but the rest of them, we'll see.
Great to speak to you, Laura. I really appreciate it and wish you well with Orlando and good luck with that game. In the opener against Portland. It's sure to be a big occasion for all concerned.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSOZone.
So that was Laura Alloway giving us a good insight into her thoughts ahead of the new season. And Dan, that brings us to the end of another NWSL season preview. Only a handful to get through before we get to the end of the week and then the big kickoff arrives. Thank you very much for joining me once again. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Tomorrow, we will hopefully bring you the Portland Thorns. So until then, take care of yourselves and bye-bye.